Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, your prosperity gurus, Christine Marie and Julie.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
It's so funny because really Charlie Ray was just very, very quiet and peaceful. And as the music literally ended, he looked at me, got up, and started heading towards you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I just thought, I was hoping that we might have a calm morning. But
well, we will have a calm morning.
Okay, I'm going to still keep my fingers crossed.
Hey, girlfriend, let's introduce ourselves real quick, won't you?
Sure. Shall I introduce myself and talk about me, or do you want to talk about
I'll talk about you. You're Christine Marie, my
That's
mother.
Right. I am. I am.
You're a former psychotherapist, and you still are a psychotherapist. You have some clients still.
Yes, I certainly do in that area.
In that area, yes. And then, you know, about 15 years ago, we really started doing the spiritual laws of success with Deepak Chopra. And probably about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, you really got involved with We both did the law of attraction and what that
mm-hmm.
meant and how that really helped our lives. And
mm-hmm.
we decided to use that as a basis of our coaching practice.
That's right.
You know, we do coaching using law of attraction and the spiritual laws of success. And since then, we've had a blast. And we call ourselves the prosperity gurus.
That's right.
Well, we don't call ourselves that.
No.
The person who did our music, my brother did. We call ourselves the prosperity duos. But we'll take gurus, too. Because
but that's what he heard. Isn't that kind of strange? Oh, and by the way, don't feel like you have to rush because of that. We did have a caller, but left. So who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe they were expecting something else. I don't know. Because I had never seen the number before either.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we were going to take our call right away, I guess.
No, now
we
can. We
had to be quicker, I guess. Mm. I don't know.
Oh, no. I think perhaps they
maybe
were expecting
we are.
Something else. Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
And well, thank you for the introduction.
Well, I was going to say, too, uh-huh. that you're an intuitive.
I am an intuitive.
And maybe they should have held on one more second.
And they would have known that. That's right.
You know?
Well, and what's really lovely is that what you and I do together, I don't think's really been done. I mean, the fact that when people pay us for both of us, we use the intuitive side, we use the law of attraction, we use coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do it all, girlfriend, don't we?
Yes, we take out all of our guns, whatever we need to do to help.
We bring
you,
the big guns in
to help you figure out how you do it. You know,
that's right. It's all about empowerment.
It really is
personal empowerment
because you're the one that directs your own life.
Yes,
and when you get that, when
mm-hmm.
you realize that you're. You know, you're steering, you know.
That's right. You're magnificently co-creating
yes,
with
yes.
your source.
Yes.
And nothing matters more than that. You feel good because it's where you vibrate is according
where
to your
you
feeling.
Attract. Yes, and where you attract.
That's right. And where you're attracting is where you're flowing your energy. And so if things aren't going as smoothly, a little bumpy, then we say start feeling better and better
right.
and better.
Right. You know, and then, you know, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You
that's
know?
What you do in the law of attraction.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and then this is my daughter, Julie. I don't know, I just love saying that because
okay.
you're my honey, and I love you. And you're a former teacher, and you are an amazing businesswoman. You do it all. I don't know, you have like a day life and a night life and all that good stuff. And now you're a law of attraction coach, and you're an amazing one. I mean, I've seen, you know, I've been around the block, and I've seen a lot of coaching styles, and I've seen and listened and participated in some of the best coaching sessions, and you're right up there. I just think you're, I mean, if I had to critique you one little tiny bit, it would be I'd slow you down a little bit. Sometimes you have so much energy, you know, that you're just eager, you know.
That's a good way of saying
that's
it.
Exactly,
I have
right.
so much energy.
You do. You just like can't wait to get in there and get your, roll your sleeves up, you know.
Exactly.
That and now good. We're law of attraction coaches, and we have a business in that, and it's just going amazingly, and it's getting better and better, and the better it gets, as we say.
Yeah. We were going to talk about today, and we still are,
mm-hmm.
about this authentic self, being your authentic self, correct?
Yes, right.
We've been kind of really playing with that a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because we've been helping somebody with a business idea, and somebody had given them advice about, you know, we'll find out what the masses want,
right.
and then be that person.
Right.
They'll direct you to where you should be. I thought, wow. I go, you know what, there's something to it, and yet there's something to
mm-hmm.
being your authentic self
mm-hmm.
and the right, and then be aligned with who you are.
Right.
Do the best you can, and truly, you will attract the right people.
Right. And that person was a marketer, and
yeah.
so they were like looking. They're all about feedback, I guess,
yes.
you know.
Right.
But we were like, no, it's the maverick in us. It's the rebel in us. It's that we have to be, every one of us has to be ourselves and our authentic self and to find out what that really is. And usually that is like when you think about your higher self and you think about what you love and what gives you passion and what feels really good to you, you know?
Yes.
And I mean, like for me, when I'm writing, I am literally in heaven. The time just goes by quickly.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm with my doggies, you know, I'm in heaven. When I'm having a really good session, you know, and I'm not saying that every session is really good with the client, you know, but.
Well, sometimes they're depending on where they're vibrating at that
yeah,
moment.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's interesting because the more we get vibrate at a higher level, our clientele changes,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's painful for us to get too far down.
Right.
Sometimes.
And we can't do that.
We can't do it for very long.
We can't do that, no.
But so we don't usually attract those clients.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when we do, we're able to move them forward quickly.
Yes.
You know, because that's really, it's just a perspective. Life is just a perspective. And
it really is.
It really is.
And the more you know, I mean, the more we get it, it's like it's just how we see things.
Yeah.
And the more we start seeing things that are on our side, the happier we are, the better the vibration is that we're flowing into our lives. And, oh, my God, the better it gets, the better it gets.
Exactly.
How sweet is that? Hey, can you share a story about me yesterday?
I can definitely
it's
share
so great.
A great law of attraction
a
story.
A law of attraction story.
Well, because what is law of attraction? You know, like attracts
like
what you
like,
focus
what you,
on
right.
expands.
So, you know, thoughts are things, and
yes.
what you think becomes real.
This is a very, very funny story. Okay, so anyway, my mom and I and my dad and my two dogs were heading to the nursing home to see my grandmother.
My mom.
Uh-huh. And it was a beautiful day yesterday. And I got her in her reclining wheelchair and got an umbrella, and we actually went behind the nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
I actually,
we found like a little kind of tiny place that had some shade and some a little bit, so we kind of have some time by ourselves with her, you know.
Yeah, and
we were kind of like when I have a picnic.
We were having a picnic, exactly.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so it was so funny because on the way there, you were talking about, oh, I wonder how it'd be like to have a big, big dog.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have two medium-sized dogs. They're border collies, and I don't consider them big. They're not small, but they're not big.
Right. They're certainly not lap dogs.
They're not lap dogs. They're and so you know, and I like, Mom, you know, it would be crazy to have a big dog. But, you know, I just don't know. And so we talked about that for a little bit. And and then we went and had our picnic behind the nursing home. We were there for an hour or so easily, probably 2 hours.
Oh, probably 2 hours, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, my dad takes our two dogs and walks away for them to go and do business. And I see two dogs running towards him, a big, huge Great Dane, but like a puppy Great Dane, and a smaller, yappier dog.
Yeah.
And they're taking off towards him. I'm like, oh, I better go.
And I didn't know this was going on. Because
no.
I saw that you got out of your chair and you went running.
Running. And I felt, I kept thinking.
You know what, though? We should try to describe the circumstances. We have a big, when we go traveling, we have a recreational van, you know, like a
conversion van.
Conversion van.
Yeah.
Sorry. And so we parked it and we opened the back doors and so we put the last seat, which folds out and down.
Right.
I went back there and I was, you know, laying back there and Mom was, you know,
in her recliner,
reclining wheelchair, and she was facing me, and we had chairs,
and we basically had a big canopy
over us. Yeah, it was. So I was facing in the back.
Yeah,
that's how. So that you'd have to get the picture to
yeah.
really get it.
And so anyway, two dogs come running around, and I run after Dad because I'm like, oh, I don't know if these dogs are going to be, you know, crazy or what.
And if our dogs are going to be crazy,
yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. And so I go, come here, doggies. I go home. So I see the mom and three kids running towards us. I go home now. Go home. And they took off behind the nursing home. I'm like, ah. Oh. And so what they're doing is, and I'm going, okay, that's interesting. I go, they went that way. You know, and behind the nursing home is also the van. So I wait to make sure Dad's okay. He goes, I'm fine. I'm like, okay. And I don't see him anymore. I walk back to the van, and I see the mom and
there's like five kids, Joel.
Yeah, mom and five kids by our van, the back of our van, and Grandma.
It's because the minute that you left me and Mom, that big dog, which was a Great Dane, decided to jump in the van.
Jump in the van and lay
and
next
lay
to Mom.
Next to me.
I think it's hysterical.
And he slobbered all over my butt.
Yeah. Yeah, your parents are totally wet. I'm like, what in the world? That is hysterical. That's so funny.
Ask and answered.
Ask and answered. And so
how would it be like to have a great big dog?
And Mom, how would it be like?
It'd be very sloppy.
Very sloppy.
But you know what, though? That dog was really sweet.
He was a sweet dog. He just jumped in the van mm-hmm. and laid next to you.
Yep, that's what
and
he wanted
I
to do.
And I see the mom pulling him, trying to pull him out.
He didn't want
to
go.
I thought, this is so funny. I literally leave you and my grandma, you know, alone for a minute, 30 seconds, and this is what happens. That's so funny.
It was a great story.
It was, because it was like you said, as it is given, it's just, wait a minute.
And here's the thing. When I said it, I had no resistance to that question.
Yeah.
I had no, like, there was no clinging to that desire.
Yeah.
I wonder what it'd be like to have a big dog. It was like, no resistance, you know, because usually whatever we desire, it comes full of baggage, you know.
Well, and it's so interesting because we never park back there.
No.
We always park in front, mm-hmm. and we always sit in the front underneath the alcove in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it was busy, and so we didn't sit there. And so we went, and we had to find a different place, and we scouted out this place. And it was like, so all the things that had to go. And then, you know, I love this line because we've been talking about this lately about, you know, saying whatever happens. Look what I created.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Look what I created.
Well, that's because we had a question, you know. One of our clients, you know, he's learning the law of attraction, and the subdivision that he lived in had water issues, major water issues. And he said, well, how did I attract this into my life? And we were really, we asked several people who we respect in the field, you know, what, about that question,
right?
Because we had different responses,
right? And it's a common question. I mean,
it is a common question.
And so, I mean, because what you do, you wonder, you know, how do I take care of this, you know? And I think initially I had said, well, I mean, you don't know why you attracted it, in the sense of you may have to meet a neighbor that you wouldn't have met otherwise, or this. And I also think I said this, it's not your business sometimes about the water. Did you put the water in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that response that I said there, I think took a little too much ownership off of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, hey, no, we create everything in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that's exactly what we, you know, what the people that we respect said. No, first things first, 100% ownership. I am responsible for everything that I create. Do you need to know why at this point? No.
No.
But you just take responsibility, because then you start really becoming masterful.
And a deliberate creator.
And a deliberate creator,
and
yeah.
Then here's the thing.
I mean, if at first if you're still in a victim mentality or a victim
right,
mode.
Right, it may not help.
It may not float your boat.
No, because.
And you realize you have to, you know, you have to move a little bit up on the vibrational scale to really get there. But, you know, first things first, if you don't, you go, oh, how did I attract that? Or, I attracted that in my life, you know.
Right.
And that, in some sense, it does set a better stage for it, Julie.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Well, because, and I remember you had talked about that in a vibrational energy or desire, there's a lot of different stuff in there.
Right.
I mean,
right.
He attracted a subdivision out in the middle of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
where he has a couple acres.
Beautiful land.
Yeah,
I saw
beautiful
a picture
land.
Of it, yeah.
Yeah. And so he attracted that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that desire,
mm-hmm.
he has,
yes.
you know, he's not close to water.
Right, yeah. I mean,
or he's not easy access to water.
Right. And, I mean, it's very similar to us in some ways.
All right. I mean, because we lost water for a while because of the flooding.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, and we live in the country in a subdivision, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our desire to have this beautiful, serene peacefulness, there comes
our
dam breaks sometimes, which it did just a couple weeks ago.
Well, interesting you say it like that, because when you said it, I almost felt it was like our prosperity dam, holding back the prosperity.
Mm.
And it just
broke
through.
Well, that's good.
It just broke, and like it's all coming down.
Yeah.
It's all coming.
That's good.
You know?
Let's keep saying that for our community, too, because I think a lot of people, I don't want to, excuse me, I don't want to put that out there, but June was kind of a constricting month.
Felt like it, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so let's really open up and let's just let the energy of prosperity really flow around us in July.
Yeah. That sounds lovely, by the way.
Yeah. let's just let it go.
Yeah, that feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm gonna take a sip of water, okay, honey?
Okay. No problem. I did too. And so that means, you know, we're in this new energy now. It's I mean, can you believe it though? It's already like July 6th and it feels like everything is just going faster and faster. And how do we put forth our authentic self in July?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do we do that, Mom? How
Listen, in terms of psychotherapy, that's always the goal, is to be your authentic self, to really be yourself. And
because everyone else is taken.
Right. But I've always felt that you're your authentic self when you're doing what you love to do.
Yes.
I mean, it's difficult to be somebody else or, like, look at somebody and go, oh, I wish I had all those things, and then try and do that. Because we are an aspect of the divine. We are all an aspect of Source. And we were all given unique talents and that make us unique.
Yes.
Just like our fingerprints. And so that's what I really defined it is that, you know, let's say we admire someone and we start trying to be like them. Well, that's like I said, everybody else is already taken. You're trying to be like somebody else.
You can admire the essence of people because we perceive people differently.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm. That's a great one, Jill. That's great.
I mean, if I'm working on like developing a better body, like a more optimal body, really focusing on that and what it would be like to be more limber and more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And I see someone who has that quality.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely, you know, I can appreciate the essence of that person and go, wow, you know, that's, you know, thank you for showing me, universe, because I've been looking.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to focus on that in my own life,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, like even my husband, Norm, he's not like a great guy to work around the house, but he likes to, you know. But he saw this weekend, he saw somebody really taking care of their yard. And, boy, he just like, I can do that. And he got his little, I don't know, the weed whacker thing out, and he was putting mulch out and pulling weeds. And it was great. He enjoyed it, you know.
Right.
Because that person that he saw stirred an essence in him that he hadn't really thought about, you know.
Right.
It wasn't really, you know, and he filled our bird feeder up, so now I get to see beautiful birdies again.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He turned the fountain on, so it looks, it was really nice.
Yeah,
you know?
It was really beautiful, you know. And see, here's the thing, I mean, you can be inspired by so much out there. And that,
beautiful.
And that inspired, and being inspired by something usually then leads you to inspired action.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and who knows what that person, what he saw or she saw to have their yard look so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we have a somebody in our subdivision that is a, I'm sure it's a single man, I'm sure because I never see anybody else there. And he bought a nice, beautiful, smaller home, you know, a ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, I know who you're talking about. Yes, yes, yes.
And literally, he has had professional landscapers come in ever since and put in these beautiful trees and mulch and everything else.
I know.
Else.
It's so lush looking now.
So,
he's just a young guy, too.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like a young guy, you know. And so I go, wow. I go, look how really, in an instance, this yard that was, you know, kind of sparse,
yes,
you know.
It was just a plain land.
Yeah,
with the,
it looks so, I mean, you could tell that he just
so
loves
now.
It, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
He just loves it. And it was inspiring for me to see that, you know. It's inspiring for me.
And Julie and I had this idea. We never, unfortunately, we didn't act on it, but we wanted to, because there's, you know, it's probably about 50 houses in our subdivision?
Yeah.
I have no idea. But we wanted to get a little sign and just say Yard of the Week.
Yes.
Beautiful Yard of the Week on it and just, you know, and move it from. And guess what, Jill? When Dad and I were in Franklin Grove yesterday,
yes.
We saw a sign that said Yard of the Week on it.
Oh, I know. I know they have them there. Well,
you
here
did?
Is the, yeah, I do.
Ah, I didn't know that. I thought
here,
it was our
here's
idea.
Here's my only thing about doing that. And I don't know why I think this way or whatever. Well, like, I love to give them a little letter, a little certificate, but to put it out there in somebody's yard, we're not like, do we have to have permission and all that stuff? And, well, people feel bad. And, and like, people go, what's the criteria? I want to know the criteria.
Well, it's just what we like. What
yeah.
we decide we like.
So to put on there, you know, the Pierce family picks out the yard. And we're
you're just afraid you're going to hurt somebody's feelings.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Now, is that law of attraction?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'll attract people who will hurt their feelings.
Well, here's why. Because that thought doesn't come from love. It comes from fear.
It does,
fear.
From fear.
It comes from fear.
From fear.
And so when you know when a thought or, you know, has a twinge of fear in it, you know you're, well, first of all, you know your vibration is mixed and muddled and all of that, you know.
Well, I could do, too, is, like, give it to somebody and then have them give it to somebody else and they feel like, you know, I have
well, that's, even, that's a better, that's better.
Well, only because we have to get a lot more signs made up then. They may want to keep their sign.
Somebody would steal it. So, girlfriend, what do we want to talk about now? There's nobody, I mean, we got callers, but their hands aren't up. So.
Oh, that's fine.
Can we talk about the law of attraction?
You know, I've been reading this book. But yeah, well, wait. We definitely talk about law of attraction.
I'm just being funny.
You know, I've been reading this book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity.
I love that book. It's an oldie, too.
Is it an oldie?
I think it is.
Okay. Well, we've also been reading the other book. What's the other book called? That,
Creating Money?
Creating, no, the one that you got from your friend.
Oh, that's kind of Creating Wealth, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, same.
Prosperity.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar. I'm creating prosperity, all about prosperity. And the first chapter is all about tithing. And interesting perspective, because I'm not going to get, I don't want to get into the.
Can I religiousness of it?
No, I don't want to. What I love this idea, though, is the idea that with tithing, it's basically a thank you. And you're tithing not, and they talk about tithing not to people in need, but people to things or people or whatever that has inspired you or filled your spiritual well.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a waitress, it could be, you know, so you're not really giving out to somebody in need, because that expands need.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving out of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, that's an interesting perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this idea of just tithing.
Well, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'm sorry, our dogs are so bad this morning.
A parable, I think, or something in the Bible, and it's about the talent.
Yeah.
And did they talk about that, by the way, in that book?
Yes.
Oh, they did. Okay. Well, go ahead if you want to.
No. Go ahead. You say it.
Well, no, it was just I think there's this lord of this property. he went away and he gave each of his servants talents, which is like money. And I don't know if it was that they gave him all the same, but the one guy, he went out and he like tripled it, you know,
right.
And the other guy doubled it. And then and another servant went and buried it in the ground. And when he came back, he said, well, what did you do with the talents I gave you? And one said, oh, I tripled it. And the other said, I doubled it. And they said, oh, but the last one goes, Master, I put it in the ground because I didn't want to lose it, you know. And he took the one that put it in the ground, he said, and he gave it to the guy who made the talents like triple. And he just said, you know, that's not what I had, you know, meant for you to do. I want you to, you know, use it and expand it and all that. But and you can't do that by burying it in the ground.
Right.
I think I'm really paraphrasing that, but
yeah, well, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, that's similar to what they
was it similar?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't talk about that exactly, that paraphrase.
Oh, okay.
And you know, just didn't do that.
Okay.
Right now I'm giving the dog bones. You know, okay. I ask myself, how did I go, well, look what I attracted. I attracted today two very, very active dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And how did I do that? I got more sleep last night.
Right.
So I didn't get up early enough to walk them.
To walk them and all that.
So in my vibration of them getting sleep, or by me getting sleep, mm-hmm. the other part of that vibration is I have two active dogs. And,
right.
And how do I... And tomorrow I want to create something a little bit different.
That's right.
You know?
Tomorrow we'll create a nice long walk for them before the show.
Yes, which means I must get up quite early. But so that was, you know, when you go to that, man, I'll tell you, I know this about law of attraction, but when you play with some of the aspects of it and have fun
mm-hmm.
and really forgive yourself for everything,
yes.
You know?
That's a great place to start. You know, forgive, forgive, forgive. That's
yeah.
a great place to start for you. And then once you forgive, get right into gratitude. How thankful I am to be where I am. And you know, it's there's no sense in arguing with reality. You know,
no.
it's craziness. Accept exactly where you are. I think there's such freedom in that.
There is. Can I say something? No, I opened up the page of this book and you just said reality.
No.
And the thing I circled was, reality is the leading cause of stress among those in touch with it.
Is that what it said?
Yes.
Great. And I said, let's not argue with reality.
Well, and here's
that would not create stress. We just,
that would not
create,
no, it is what it
yeah.
is.
And then we find the beauty in it.
Yes. And then we also, what we do know of law of attraction is that we tell a different story from the reality that we have.
I know.
You know, I mean, when one person may see a stressful reality and then you put somebody else in there
mm-hmm.
who truly sees life with abundance
mm-hmm.
and they see something completely different. And we want to reprogram our brain to really consider
mm-hmm.
that we are connected to Source. We all are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're somebody who likes the word God, you know, you are God's child. I mean, you know, that's it, right? You are connected to God.
I'm a fan from the man from Galilee. I'm a fan, yeah.
Yeah.
You can say God.
You know, so, you know, you do that, and or the universe or whatever you want to say, and you go, I am perfect as is,
mm-hmm.
first of all. And I chose to be in this body. I'm a spiritual being who chose to be here. And I am going to play and have fun and really practice being the person I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and work towards these things I want.
And I remember, I don't know if it's Einstein or somebody said, you can't solve a problem at the same level that the problem was created on. And so let's say that you on a scale of 1 to 10, let's say you have the capacity to solve problems at a number 7, right?
Right.
So any problem that comes up from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you can, there are no biggies for you.
No, right.
But if you're a 7 and you got a problem that comes in at 9, then you've got to stretch.
Right.
And see, this is what we want. We want you to get, we want you to be able to handle 10s.
Exactly.
So that anything that comes up, no drama.
No biggie. You
no.
can handle it.
Krishnamurti said at the end of his days, and here is my secret. I don't mind.
I just don't mind.
I don't mind.
I don't mind
I
if
don't
the
mind.
Water isn't perfect.
I don't mind.
You know, I don't mind. Mm-hmm. Don't mind if my clothes were slightly wrinkled,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
you know, or I forgot to turn the dryer on. Mm-hmm. I just don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another quote real quick from the Talmud. We do not see things as they are. We see them as we are.
Wow.
And that is like the perfect.
Wow.
I mean, that is law of attraction right there. We
okay.
just talked about that.
We do not see things as they are. We see them as we are.
As we are.
And
so when, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm just in awe of that statement because
I know
you
I
realize.
Have to just, I'm just sitting here feeling it. I'm really just basking in it and letting it raise my vibration here.
Yeah, exactly. And then one of the other things we talked about too is that you can't move forward by staying in the same place. You can move forward by making a wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes, you can.
You can move
And you can
forward.
Move greatly forward by making, quote-unquote, what is Bob Proctor says, you can fail yourself all the way to the moon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, everything is energy. Everything is moving, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you, you know, and I love Abraham Hicks's discussion on this because he talks about, you can't stand forward necessarily because energy is always moving, and you are energy. But if you're in the same vibrational stance, you're just creating the exact same thing,
right?
Moment by moment
right.
by moment. And if you're, you know, if you're not focusing on your desires, then you're not creating anything. You're
mm-hmm.
just creating the same thing
mm-hmm.
over and over and over again.
And the idea that, I mean, here's some beautiful things. We are creators. We are co-creators with source energy, with the divine, and the universe is on our side. God is on our side.
Oh.
It's benevolent. And so we get up in the morning, and rather than pulling out our list of all the crap that's going on and all the things that we're unhappy about, let's pull out a list of all the things we're grateful for, because what we are grateful for expands.
Yeah.
Well, what we think about expands. So if what we think about is gratefulness and the things that are good, then we know we're bringing that more in our lives, you know.
Yes.
And it really is a shift in perspective, excuse me. But, I mean, I know yesterday around 4 o'clock my energy went down. And, you know, Norm was working on his truck and I was, you know, getting crabby. And so I knew I was kind of, you know, falling. So I got a book out. I started reading. I started, you know, writing some things that I was grateful for. And I did feel better. You know, did I feel back to a 10? No, but I felt better. And I was saying to myself, thank you, Lord, that we understand incremental change. Because if I would have expected, which I have done in the past, if I would have expected to go from a 4 or 5 to a 10, it wouldn't have happened. And I would have just gotten more frustrated.
Yeah.
But because I not only do I believe in incremental change, I adore it. I mean, I think that it works much better than, you know, going from 0 to 70, you know. It works better. You get to hold on to what you have. It's very transformational. And I think that most of us, at a deep level, we really desire transformation.
We do.
It's not change, because I always say, you know, change, you can go back.
Right.
But true transformation, you're there.
Yeah, I'm going to read a quote from Joseph Campbell.
Oh, I love Joseph. The follow your bliss man, right?
Yes.
I love that.
We must be willing to get rid of the life we've planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. The old skin has to be shed before the new one can come.
The old skin has to, yeah. Amen.
You can't make an omelet without breaking the eggs. You know, and here's the thing. I mean,
and he also said this, another quote that I love from him, and just quickly. He said, we must have invisible means of support.
Yes. Well,
do you have invisible means of support?
I do.
Yeah, we do. We do. We sure do.
Well, you know, when I feel like I don't for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
and that those thoughts are old and they're habitual, and they come in once in a while,
mm-hmm.
even though I have intentionally not, you know, entertain them,
mm-hmm.
but I immediately think of this one monk who traveled across England and Northern Europe, I guess Western Europe. Well, I don't know what part of Europe, but Northwest Europe. Anyway, and for him, he wanted to walk for peace. But he had no money. He had zero money, and yet every day he walked, and every day somebody fed him, somebody sheltered him.
Mm-hmm.
He never went without.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day he was taken care of. And because he did this, he knew in his heart that he would be supported, that he was going to a source, and it would all be okay. You know, he had that invisible support system.
Invisible means of support.
Invisible means of support.
Yes.
And, you know, come on. And when I think about that, I'm going, mm-hmm. wow, here's a man who had nothing and was completely happy.
Yeah.
And had everything.
But the people that fed him and stuff, they acted as God's hands on earth.
Oh, they did, didn't they?
Yes.
You know, and
we all want to be a part of that.
Yes,
we all
do.
Want to be a part of that.
We do. You know, it's interesting because, you know, when we had the big storm, I was in DeKalb for one of the storms. We've had several.
Mm-hmm. And, the one where the dam broke?
Yeah, no, this is a different one because I was in DeKalb at that time. So, and I was driving, and I saw, you know, a gentleman carrying groceries, walking. It was pouring out, and about two, he was walking fast, and he had his arms full of groceries, and the woman ahead of him had a baby in a carriage, or like in a little thing, and they're like running real fast, and I'm like, so I pulled over. I said, "Do you guys need rides?" You know, and they said, "No, we're almost home." I'm like, "Oh, that's good," you know, and I just thought, you know, at risk of could they have been fakers? You know,
yeah, Jill.
But you know, it's just funny. I had that day. I had asked somebody else. It was, you know, that I thought, you know, this person could probably use a ride. They didn't accept my offer, and I'm like, that's fine. You don't have to accept my offer.
No,
you know,
no.
You know, for maybe I look too scary. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, you know what? I have to just trust that the need comes over me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that I'm a connected source.
Mm-hmm.
That I can offer people rides if need be. You know, I'm not going to offer a hitchhiker a ride, but in certain situations, you know. So I just, I wanted to be part of that area where I wanted to give freely.
Yes.
You know.
And speaking of giving freely, this idea of priming the pump is so important. In Deepak Chopra's 7 Spiritual Laws of Success. When we desire something, the best way to get it is to give it.
Yeah.
Absolutely give it. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people call it priming the pump. So give something, give a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, give a donation to your favorite charity or not so favorite charity, but just something that you feel that you're being, go to the food pantry.
Yeah,
give food to the food pantry. Anything to start priming that pump for yourself, and just continually give and give and get into that giving and receiving cycle. It is a cycle, isn't it, Jules?
Oh, it really is. It really is, and it's a
you
fun.
Know, can I tell you what's really on my mind right now?
Tell me.
It's been on my mind this whole show. Is we have this client that we work with together, and she sent us a really disturbing email, a little bit, and I just can't shake it a little bit. It was, and she's, you know, really usually very good with the law of attraction, but in this email, everything she's talking about is like a victim stance.
Yes,
and it concerns me a little bit, you know.
Well,
it's been on my heart this whole time.
Well, release that, girlfriend. Release that, because it will take care of it. And also, at the moment, and here's the thing: we can use it as a guide that somebody else may be feeling like a victim right now.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
That's why I said it, because I felt like it was every sentence was it wasn't really a victim, but it was almost like revenge. But that didn't come from a good place. It came from that I feel so bad about myself, and I feel like a victim. And
all these
people that have all these court issues,
let them go. I want to say right now, I remember.
Wow. I mean, she's like really in the midst of like
court
months
issues.
And months and months of court issues.
Right.
And you see what that does to your spirit.
You know what? This many people we fail in this state. I know we're the best court system ever. I do know that. But we maybe need to have like some guidelines how to deal with them spiritually,
mm-hmm.
because they could truly overwhelm your life.
It does.
And first of all, what it does, it puts two people at odds right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
It puts two people at odds right off the bat.
And in the course of nothing goes quickly.
No.
Nothing.
No. There's
and so you have that energy all over you.
Yeah.
And then you have this kind of paranoid, like, well, did I hire the right attorney? And you have all these other questions that come into play, you know.
And as this is all going on, tick, tock, tick, tock.
Your life is going by.
Yes. And it's like, well, you know.
And, I know that some people have these legitimate, you know, things that they have to do. But I just want to send a blessing out there.
Yes.
Because, you know, it really is like an energy vampire.
Yes.
I mean, I feel with our girl, I mean, it's like something just sucked her dry. And now
right.
all that's left is like revenge and anger and hostility and paranoia.
Right.
Whoa.
Right. And consequently, in this area, other areas are not going to move forward.
Right.
And so we
are bleeding into every other area of your life.
If you're holding on long-term anger, I mean, here's the thing. Anger can be a step up. If you're feeling despair,
mm-hmm.
anger is a legitimate step up.
It is a step up on the vibrational scale. It's better to be angry than to feel hopelessness.
Yes. Well, I don't want you to stay there. Nothing happens when you stay there except more anger.
Right.
How is that pleasing?
Yeah, in the great cosmic mirror, you know, like attracts like. But but it is better than feeling hopeless.
Yes. And then blaming somebody feels better,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
That feels a little bit better, too.
Well, you know, I guess that's where she could be at right now, blame.
Yes, she could be.
Yeah.
And then...
but she's blaming everybody.
Yeah, and that makes it... But there's other things, too, because there's one thing to feel those feelings, and then another thing to write them down and to say them over again
mm-hmm.
when you've already know about law of attraction, when you go, okay. And then here's the thing. This is what we're gonna work on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so,
if you were my client, you came with all that, I would do a polarity process. I would write down all those feelings that you are feeling because they're extreme feelings.
Yes.
And then once you got them all down, we'd go for the exact opposite. You'd have to say the exact opposite.
Yes.
And then once those were all out, we'd find a balanced statement.
Yes.
And once we find that, the last part of that process, which I love, is a surrender to grace.
Right.
Surrender everything to grace. Give it all to grace.
Mm-hmm.
And let grace descend upon you and live in grace.
Yeah. That feels good.
Mm-hmm.
That feels really
mm-hmm.
good. You know, that feels really good.
I think that's how we're going to handle her, dear Julie.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
We'll just talk about, you know, we'll talk about it, but, you
mm-hmm.
know. But she's been on my heart this whole show.
You know what? She hasn't been on mine.
She hasn't been on yours. Good. Okay. Good.
Good. I'm today. You
good,
know, because
good.
You're intuitive, though. You do things differently. You see things differently.
I'm not
vibrating there, so I'm
good,
not.
Good.
I can't get in touch with it.
Yeah.
But I do know that we can help her today, and I know I'm going to be able to help her today. I'm helping her before because
mm-hmm.
I asked. You know, I don't have I didn't have a session for her, but I said, you know, if you want, you know, I have about 15, 20 minutes, call, and we'll work this out.
We'll do a tune-up.
We'll do a quick tune-up. Yes. Because we
don't
want
anybody.
I really want people to feel good and to know that you create everything in your life.
That's right.
And when you get that, it even gets better.
It gets better. I mean, if you're feeling kind of crappy and you realize you create everything in your life, it doesn't make you feel that good.
No.
But at a certain level, it's so freeing. It's so liberating. And you just go, oh, how did I create that? Oh, how did I create that? Or just wonder, oh,
I
created
that. Can I say something really quick?
Yeah.
I was with somebody who was driving. And they had given somebody cut us off, and they gave us the finger. We gave them the finger. I didn't, but my boyfriend did.
I can't imagine you giving it.
Yeah, and I had myself, if he even believed thoughtly that he he created everything, he'd be like giving the finger to his own life. And I thought, yeah, I'm not going to swear a day. Sometimes I swear, you know. I'm not going to swear a day because, you know what? That's like giving the finger to your own life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So that was just something
That's
I wanted
funny.
To share real quick.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want everybody to have a great, great day today.
Yeah.
No phone calls that want to talk, but that's
no,
fine.
No, but, you know, shout-outs to all our peeps, Rita and Cindy. Love you guys.
Yes.
All our people that, honestly.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I know we've been all over the map today, but it's just been coming slow, you know, coming out. So have a great day. Blessings all, and we're out of here.
Yep. Bye-bye.